Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast monthly album roundup for the month of February 2018. I'm your host, Robert, the Florida Panther. And with me, I have...
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
And...
Walking in a new room or something. This looks so...
I guess something.
Right.
It's yeah. Nice.
So, for those who obviously followed, like, the Twitter and everything, you probably already know this, but for those who are, you know, coming into this and maybe don't, there's a bit of an announcement I have to make, you know, opening, you know, before we get into the episode proper. So, pretty much, effective starting in April, yours truly will be taking over as the editor-in-chief of Surreal Resolution. Yeah, there's some backdoor stuff that happened. Basically, Tyler, he wants to go at it on his own with his own, you know, gaming blog and, you know, running the training stage independently. But, you know, it's not all bad. We've managed to recruit some new writers, you know, an old friend of mine from the Swim Squad, some guy on Twitter who has strong anime opinions and is also Funky Kong for some reason, and...
Yours truly, aka moi... As crossing the surreal.
The blue hybrid is now one of us for real. And I forgot to get him a complimentary gift basket. Look, sorry, okay.
Beer and chocolate.
I mean, is that what he wants? I mean, truth be told, I don't know what he wants, which is why I didn't get him the gift basket. I'm a terrible shopper for other people.
Just get alcohol and chocolate.
Okay. But there's no guarantee that the basket's going to be full by the time it gets to you. What? Those are my two favorite things. You know, beside bacon cheeseburgers. Bacon cheeseburgers. I'm going to get Five Guys for lunch tomorrow. But yeah, so with that announcement out of the way, and you know, hopefully I'll be able to do a good job. You know, the quality will still be top-notch on the articles, the podcast will still be entertaining, and the memes... Oh, they will still be dank.
Because why wouldn't they?
And of course, I get to improve on and get to work on my reviewing prowess as a music writer now.
Hell yeah, buddy! But yeah, now we can get into the roundup proper, which again, it's one of those things where, like, you know, it's sort of like January where there was some stuff, but not as much as you would think, like. It's kind of a toss-up. Like, there's some good stuff in here, but, like, for the most part, a lot of it was a lot of dead air. So, maybe things are going to pick up by March. I mean, hell, we got that new BT BAM record this weekend. But, first, let's actually get into the usual business of recapping just what in the fuck actually did come out this past February. Now, this is just, as always, a broad picture of some of the bigger stuff that came out. So, you'll have to apologize if I'm leaving your favorite thing out here. Sorry, I don't mean to offend you specifically. Actually, maybe
yeah,
I do.
Person. Yeah, that person over there with the red hat.
So, yeah, let's start off just kind of broad with some of the rock releases, so to speak. So, at the top, there was a new AWOL Nation record, Here Come the Runts. We had Screamo turn, you know, alt-rock with Pianos Become the Teeth, Wait for Love. Of course, Census Fail came back with a new album, If There Is a Light, It Will Find You. There was that godforsaken Pop Evil album. No, I didn't listen to it. Escape the Fates with a new release, I Am Human. Indie rockers MGMT with their newest album, Little Dark Age. Also coming back in the indie rock scene, Franz Ferdinand with their newest album, Always Ascending. Not a new album per se, but the greatest music act of all time, Toto, dropped a greatest hits compilation, 40 Trips Around the Sun. Are you blessing the rains down in Africa? Or are you? Are you? When is Weezer going to cover that song? Come on! Anyway, moving on. A new album from singer-songwriter Vance Joy with Nation of Two. A new Screaming Females album, All at Once. The second studio album from X-Files actor David Duchovny with Every Third Thought. Yeah, I still can't get over that. Two albums from this guy. again, sort of not a new one technically, but Car Seat Headrest dropped an album, Twin Fantasy Face to Face, which was evidently a reworking of their 2011 album just called Twin Fantasy. And then, of course, the new Dashboard Confessional release, Crooked Shadows. Now moving on to the metal and hardcore stuff, new for the Fallen Dreams record, Six, get it, because it's their sixth album, new self-titled album from I Set to Kill, and yes, they are apparently still a thing, new album from metalcore band The Plot and You with Dispose, hardcore act Turnstile with their newest album Time and Space, thrash legend Saxon with Thunderbolt. Wait, are they thrash, or are they just regular metal? I'm not entirely sure.
Saxon is new wave British heavy metal.
Ah, noted. The newest album from metallic hardcore act Harm's Way with Posthuman. The new album from the Atlas Moth with Coming to War. New album from Legend of the Seagull Men, you know, that supergroup that features members of Tool and Mastodon, which was self-titled. The new band-made record, World Domination. And of course, there was also a new Angra record, Omni. Now let's move on to the hip-hop and rap stuff. Of course, starting at the top, the debut full-length record from Rich Brian with Amen. There was a new 2 Chainz EP, The Play Don't Care Who Make It. There was a new Kodak Black mixtape called Heartbreak Kodak.
Oh, hell.
And speaking of shitty rap mixtapes, there was a 6ix9ine's debut mixtape, Day 69.
Oh, God. Yeah, the one with the Adventure Time mix cover.
That apparently was plagiarized from a fan artist. So, keep it classy, pal.
Oh, wow.
There was a new Black Milk record called Fever. The latest $30 release from Rock Marciano, RR2, The Bitter Dose. New EP from YFN Lucci with Frida Sun. Tyga exploring his bestiality side with Kyoto. And then, of course, obviously the most hyped shit, the Top Dog Entertainment-produced soundtrack to Black Panther. And then, as far as other stuff, there was, of course, the new Daubry record 3-3 and the new Justin Timberlake album Man of the Woods. So, don't worry, we'll get to that soon. But first off, Alex is going to, you know, get us warmed up here with what he says is his one album from this month.
Yeah, this was a dire, dour, sore month for me, because aside from a whole bunch of scenecore crap and that Pop Evil album, there just wasn't a whole lot that really grabbed my interest. Yeah, there was an Anger album, but I really didn't have much to say about it. Neil Morse put out a solo album. I've never been a big fan of his solo work, and I honestly forgot about that Legend of Seagull Men album. Shame on me.
Eh, you're not missing much.
Okay, then. So I had to search far and wide to try and find something that could grab me by the collar and pull me in. Thankfully, with some help from The Rock Critic, I found just that. And technically, it's kind of cheating because internationally, this album came out on March 2nd, but in Japan, it came out on Valentine's Day. I'm talking about World Domination from Bandmade.
How did I know that was going to be it?
Oh, okay.
I have very simple tastes. You all know that.
Hey, you a basic bitch.
That just means I like good stuff, you know?
Yeah, like but anyways.
Yeah. But anyway, I decided to check this out on a whim. Just because, okay, you know what? J-Rock looks cool. Then I saw some of their live footage. For those who don't know, this is an all-female J-Rock band with an image of maids from a maid cafe set to hard rock and heavy metal.
Pretty much what you see in the band name is what you get.
Yeah, it is as awesome as you would think. And this is filling the void that baby metal has left empty for a while, and hopefully I can still get a ticket to see them in Charlotte in May. Fingers crossed. Wouldn't you know if these guys have, these girls have five albums under their belt?
Five?
Yes, like five. So I have some catching up to do. So I checked out this album. It's pretty solid J-Rock from what I would expect. It has catchy hooks, catchy choruses, solid drum beats. And it just makes you feel so good inside. A combination of happy and I wanna mosh, yo. You know what that's like, right?
Yes, yes I do. Except for the happy part. I've never experienced true happiness in my life.
I did. It was called Yuri on Ice.
Well, good for you.
Yes, good for me. But anyway, I really can't say a whole lot more about this album because I'm just now discovering them. I will check out more. I'll come back to you when I'm, you know, neck deep into the weeb train, But this album is so very good. One and only, such a catchy chorus. It makes you want to sing along to it, even though I barely understand a word they're saying because I don't speak Japanese. Teach me your ways, Saikiyatsumi. Teach me your ways. And you too, Miku Kabato. All of you. You're all friggin' beautiful, beautiful artists.
You weeb.
Yeah, I'm out of minutes. I got a whole bureau full of anime now.
Yes, yes, you keep telling us about that.
Yes. And that's all I got. I'll check back in about 40 minutes.
All right, so usually Mark goes here, but he's going to segue us into the last part of this podcast proper here, so I'll take over for the middle part. So, as always, starting off with my top picks here, like my highlights, what I enjoyed and listened to the most this month. Starting at the top, this was an album that I would not have known about if it wasn't tweeted about by Mr. Melon himself. This is a collaborative album, of course, put out by Thrill Jockey Records, who seem to facilitate a lot of extreme metal music and metal collaborations. I think they put out those two Body and Full of Hell records and the last Oozing Wound album. But yes, this is an album from a noise artist that I have never heard of, a Japanese musician named Keiji Haino, and Sumac, a doom slash sludge sort of post-metal band that I am, in fact, quite familiar with and actually quite enjoy. Now let me just take a little bit of a breath here, because the album title here is actually a friggin' mouthful. They released a collaborative effort called American Dollar Bill, Keep Facing Sideways, You're Too Hideous to Look At Face On.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's not as much mouthful as the album I reviewed last month.
This album is 5 songs, most of which range from like 10 to 20 minutes in length.
Jesus.
I mean, this is... Well, I mean, that's the Sumac way. Like, if you ever listen to their albums or songs, like, those things go, like, on for a while. But in a way, this album is sort of similar to their usual fare, with a lot of, like, the slow, drawn-out, sludgy elements in certain songs. But it is noticeably different, whereas that album definitely, like, emphasizes the metal. This one's more of, like, a kind of free form, like, kind of just kind of improvisational drone kind of thing. Like, you're just kind of listening to, like, these aimless, you know, guitar leads and sort of coherent, but, like, at the same time, very nondescript drum beats, you know, creating this very sparse, cavernous atmosphere. And, you know, sometimes you get those bursts of loud aggressiveness, especially in, like, the first 5 minutes of the song I'm Over 137% a Love Junkie and It's Still Not Enough Part 2, and, you know, also a little bit at the end of Part 1, and kind of some in the title track. You know, this huge burst of, again, more like freeform kind of, like, noise and, like, sludge and everything, but, you know, either way, it's still, like, this really, like, cool kind of, like, listening experience where it's, like, you know, it just drones on and you can just kind of, like, zone out to it. You know, except for when Mr. Keiji Haino actually does kick in. Like, his vocal stylings here, I only think he sings on, like, about half the tracks here. His vocals, like, are very much like a demented madman. Like, he just howls and wails and screeches. He sounds like he's trying to audition for a season of Attack on Titan. Let's put it like that. Yeah, so you have that kind of contrasting against, like, the, like, sort of musical void in some of the, you know, more ambient segments, and against the loud, aggressive bursts of, like, bassy, like, low-end noise, and it just sounds like it's this really, I thought it was a really unique experience. It's the kind of thing that, like, you really have to be in a certain mindset to get into. But if you can, like, stomach it, I think you're going to find a really sort of rewarding experience in a sense. It's just really, it's unique. I might have to actually go into this Haino person's discography. Moving on to the next album here. And this one was a surprise release. I was definitely not expecting this one, but I'm glad it's here. We have an album called Leather Teeth, which is the newest release from French synthwave phenomenon Mr. Carpenter Brute. Which, as I'm sure you all know from the likes of the Toonami promos and Hotline Miami. This is his first proper full-length studio album, you know, unless you count Trilogy, which is a compilation of his three previous EPs, which, so I don't count that as a studio release, but you should still listen to Trilogy, like, if you want the full Brute experience. So, listening to this album, a lot of it definitely feels like sort of familiar territory for him, in that a lot of the songs rely on a lot of these really instantly catchy, you know, synth melodies, and a lot of these cool kind of, you know, almost danceable grooves in a lot of songs. You know, pretty much from, like, the opening track, you get, like, these razor-sharp, like, bassy synths that eke out something sort of, like, vaguely reminiscent of what a guitar rhythm would be like. You have, like, those walls of synth chords that prop up all, like, the other synth melodies, that kind of booming, you know, that In the Air Tonight style of, like, drum production, whatever the proper term is, I forget what that's called, but you know what I mean. And then you get to, you know, a lot of other songs here, like Sunday Lunch, which kind of emphasizes more of an 80s glam vibe, which, you know, if that's the, I think that's the best way to kind of sum up what this album is going for as a whole. If you need a sort of a general idea, it's very, the most 80s glam thing that I think he's done. I mean, hell, Sunday Lunch kind of has, like, melodies that feel like, you know, Toto kind of stuff. Not to mention with actual, like, guitar solos, like, literal guitar solos, and, like, that syncopated chord structures. There's some heavier songs in here, like Monday Hunt, which has, like, this very fast, driving, you know, triplet kind of groove, you know, going on, that feels very, you know, heavy. Like, it almost kind of feels like, I'm not sure how to describe it, but, you know, it does, like, it hits hard. Like, it's one of the heaviest songs I think he's written since, I want to say, Turbo Killer, or, like, Meat Met Striker. So that vein of Carpenter Brute tracks. There's still a lot of, like, danciness to it, especially on, like, Inferno Galore, or, like, even Hairspray Hurricane, which kind of has, like, you know, just very fast, you know, driving beats and everything. You know, to compare it to another synthwave artist, think of, like, Miami Nights 1984, which, yes, that is a thing, and that's probably not, like, name-dropping per se, but you gotta see what I'm going with here. Like, this whole thing is, like, more, like, the pop, you know, popular music of, like, the 80s condensed into, like, a synth project. I kind of wish it was a little longer, per se, and there were, like, more of the aggressive songs. This one definitely leads more towards 80s pop glam than, you know, again, the aggressiveness of stuff like Turbo Killer. But it's a damn entertaining release, and I definitely want to, you know, spin it some more, and I'll still look forward to whatever it is Carpenter Brute does next. Now, for the next one here, this is the one here that I actually did get a chance to review for the site, and props to Ghostly for, you know, sending me the copy of it when they did, Mr. Dabry, with the third installment of his three trilogy, 3-3. Now, I actually did get a chance to familiarize myself with some Dabry stuff before, and I kinda like what he's going for. You know, it's the usual electronic, you know, experimental hip-hop stuff that seems to fit in with a lot of, you know, Ghostly guys, like, you know, like the Lord Rajahs and Shigettos and whatnot. And you definitely get that, like, right off the bat with the opening track Tunnel Vision, which features rapper Guilty Simpson, who he collaborated with on, like, on a song on 2-3, all the way, like 12 years ago. It's got that warbled synth, those boom bap drums, and Guilty Simpson gets some pretty good bars in there, probably the most amusing being, "You should roll your pants up, pick up faster than a Dodge Ram truck." And so that kind of vibe kind of, you know, continues through the whole of the album, you know, that boom bap, you know, hip hop drums with the warbled wavy synth, you know, trackings, like with that Ghostface Killah track Emancipated, that Lil Motherfuckers track with MF Doom. there's also it even kind of breaks from that in places, like that song Pretty, which is more like a new Jabez or J Dilla style of super melancholic, you know, hip-hop production, which makes sense given that he's collaborating on this one with Mr. John Wayne, so it works perfectly well against, like, his rap style. And, you know, there's other really good, there's some good instrumental songs, like, the album is mostly collaborations, but the instrumentals that do stand out are kind of cool. Like, there's the retro-futuristic vibe of Tape Flip 2, which kind of sounds like, you know, a 1950s living room with, like, hyper-technological shit, like the Jetsons or something. There's probably my favorite instrumental on the record, Sunset, which is a collaboration with Shigeto. It has, like, this really strong drum beat that it's such a tight groove, it almost feels like it was played by, like, a human on, like, an electronic drum kit, and yeah, it's, like, really fucking cool as shit. I will say, if there's one thing that kind of bugs me about the album a little, it's the fact that it feels kind of padded. Like, you could easily pare this album down to, like, its 12 or 13 strongest tracks, and you would have had a more focused release, and you wouldn't have had to have, you know, sacrificed, like, anything in terms of, like, the overall quality of the project. There is a lot of tracks that kind of feel like they go nowhere, or like the rappers don't really offer much. Like on Fight Scene, Nova, or First Law of Nature Rock Day. And the ending instrumental is kind of just kind of there. Which is unfortunate because one of the last tracks we get on this album is Culture Shuffle, which features a rapper, Cadence Intricate Dialect, who has one of the most, what is currently probably one of the most fire bars I'm gonna like hear in any song. You know, all year. And I just want to quote a quick excerpt here. Operating from a biophilic framework means developing a higher tolerance for pain first. Peep the solar soldier's clenched black fist, Afro cosmonaut, no escape velocity back trip. Fulfills the need that our people heed and get on the ship, fleeing from a white supremacy flooded apocalypse. We'll leave a crooked literary cracker's back broke, dreaming science fictional futures with no black folks. And now there's a fire and smoke developing behind my computer because it can't handle how fire those bars were. But, yeah, that's basically what I have to say on the record. You know, a lot of really good stuff here. Fitting conclusion to the trilogy. Could have done with some trimming in places. But now for my album of the month, like the one I jammed the most. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. My album of the month for January was a 67-minute gorgeous Israeli progressive metal epic. And this one is a 35-minute meat and potatoes tough guy chug fest. I am, of course, speaking of the new Harm's Way record, Posthuman. Now, I got into these guys around the time of their last album, Rust, which I believe is either, yeah, I think it was 2015, the year before I started doing this podcast. And I liked it so much, like, it was probably the best sort of pure, like, mosh tough guy metal album I heard that year that it pretty much was in my top 10. And so I got excited for this new one, especially with the bump up from Deathwish Records to Metal Blade. And they certainly take advantage of that right away. Like, this album is, I'm trying to see if I can find the producer name here. Shit, I don't have it on hand. But I know the producer for this album had produced quite a handful of really good stuff that I liked from the past handful of years. Like the last Every Time I Die record, Low Teens, a bunch of Straight from the Path stuff. Hell, he produced the last Body Count record. And you pretty much get like that sense of just sheer power right away with the opening track, A Human Carrying Capacity, which as we discussed on the podcast, you know, it's this slow, it's this mid-tempo kind of aggressive chugging, you know, tough guy thing with like the massive drum grooves, and it just sounds really huge. The guitars are, they have so much more body than they did on past releases. The vocals are more bellowing. Everything just kind of swirls together into this massive, just like a wall, just like a brick wall. And to sort of continue with some of the mild experimenting they've been doing for the past, the second track gives us Last Man gives us some industrial metal elements. Like, there's those, you know, you get this kind of breathy atmosphere which is just kind of like just the drums playing this kind of a Let Live style rhythm, and then it goes like back and forth between like that and actual like proper, you know, double bass, you know, drums and guitars and whatnot. And the verses have like some cool like off-kilter rhythmic beats where it's like, you know, it's shifting between bars of 3-4 and 4-4, you know, something that a lot of like somewhat offbeat, you know, D-beat hardcore bands do from time to time. Like, it's kind of a common songwriting tactic in a lot of Converge tracks. And you kind of have, like, the songs like Temptation, which is another one of these really atmosphere-heavy, almost kind of post-metalcore, I'll say, kind of vibe. Like, those hazy guitars, that very vocals that are distant to the mix, the unrelenting, like, you know, kick drums that aren't even double bass. It's just, like, they're hitting the kick, like, repeatedly over and over, and it's, like, you know, you feel that. And, you know, Become the Machine with its, like, really cool, like, again, kind of doing the Converge thing where it's, like, a 7-4 time D-beat drum rhythm with, like, its particular frenetic guitar arrangements. And it even goes, again, into full industrial with The Gift, which is just, like, you know, this, again, it sounds, like, very cold and just sparse, but you still feel, like, this ominous presence to it. It's just, it is... Okay, if for those of you who are listening, I want you to Google the album art for this thing, because, and who knows, maybe these guys are looking it up right now, but the best thing I could say about this album is that it does exactly what the album art promises. It fucking smashes itself all the way through your skull like it was made of pure glass and diamonds and shit. This is, it may not be like... Again, like, I keep bringing up Converge here, because, again, they were on Converge's label, but while this may not be on the experimental heights of stuff like, say, The Dusk in Us, or even All We Love We Leave Behind, it certainly carves out enough of its own unique niche as far as, you know, that meat and potatoes, steroid fuel, just mosh everything. I feel like throwing on, you know, a black tank top and fucking tackling a muscle car. Sadly, I can't do that because I'm not tough or muscular. Sad face. But yeah, if you just need, like, that really entertaining, somewhat unique, just, you know, mosh core fucking album to, like, fucking, like, just get you, like, this is workout music, basically. If you need, like, workout music, this shit has you fucking covered. And yeah, those are my album highlights. So now let me just lightning round through a few other ones that I didn't have much to say on. Rich Brian? Well, I mean, it sounds like Rich Brian. It sounds like a lot of the other, like... you know, soul, vaguely soulful rap music, like, it's okay, I guess. Turnstiles, Time and Space, it's okay. I've made it clear, like, I'm not huge on this band, but there's a couple okay songs on here, and, you know, I kind of get their appeal, bringing a certain level of fun and joy to, like, the hardcore genre that it kind of needs for, like, you know, outsiders to try and find a way in. I guess it makes sense in that regard. The Atlas Moth, Coming to War, some pretty solid, you know, suffocating, atmospheric, like, post-metal, not their best work, but it's still, you know, a good enough release on its own. As Alex said, Band Maid's World Domination was really it was a really fun release. I don't have much to say about it, other than my only mild critique is that the drumming feels kinda awkward a little bit. Like, those double bass drum rhythms just feel like really... It feels like they programmed this in Drum Kit from Hell with the plan to rewrite it later, but they didn't have anything else, so they just went with a draft. But still, this is a pretty entertaining, like, you know, Japanese pop-infused metal, even if it doesn't reach the experimental heights of something like, say, the last Baby Metal record. That's just me. Pianos Become the Teeth. Are you sure it's too late for you guys to go back to Screamo? Please? This album just sounds like, you know, every other band that's, like, trying to be legitimate and serious after their Screamo phase. The Legend of the Seagull Men album, I'll go by this one, again, really quick. Imagine if the Mastodon that wrote Emperor of Sand tried to write Leviathan. Just kind of try to put that image in your head. Of course, and last but not least, the lightning round, Franz Ferdinand's Always Ascending. Man, this album just kind of goes through you really fast. Like, at least the last couple ones had some fun, like, you know, dancey grooves to them. This one's just like, it's like a fiber supplement. It's tasteless and it just passes right through you. Except at least it's not shit. Unlike my low life for the month. And I take it I'm the only one that actually sat through this record.
I did too. You got your wish.
I shall not suffer alone. But yeah, my lowlight is Justin Timberlake's Man of the Woods. And believe it or not, this is my first time actually listening to a full Justin Timberlake solo project. Which is kind of weird considering it feels like the guy's been around forever and ever everywhere, and I really can't think of a time when he ever wasn't famous or anything. Which is weird considering that there's such long gaps between, like, his main studio projects. Like, for fuck's sake, the 2020, you know, experience albums, those were 5 years ago. And I'm pretty sure his solo albums before that were also, like, 5 years ago. It's like, there's gaps. God damn. So, yeah, this album, you know, everybody was kind of saying that it was going into a sort of folkish country direction just from the art, the title, and even, like, I guess whoever got their hands on the album before the official release date and everything. And not to mention there was a point where Justin Timberlake said, "Stop saying I'm making a goddamn country album." Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to ignore. You have those influences a lot on this record, although you certainly wouldn't know it from the first single and the opening track, Filthy. Which, yeah, I'm going to agree with Todd in the Shadows here. This isn't a song. This is a trailer for the album pretending to be a song. It's still the most awkwardly clunky, incoherent thing, where it's like, it's trying to be like Jamiroquai mashed up with like the Crazy World of Arthur Brown or some shit, and it's just, it does not work at all. Holy fuck. And, you know, you get to the rest of the album, and the weird thing is, like, this is kind of an outlier. Like, this and I Gotta Bring Up Supplies Again, because that's still one of the most cringe-inducing set of lyrics, like, I think I'll hear all year. I'll never look at power generators the same way again.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's like, just, like, those two songs are the outliers. A lot of the album tries to invoke a kind of 70s, you know, soulful, like, funk rock kind of vibe. You know, you hear a lot of these, like, syncopated guitar licks on songs like, you know, Sauce or even Wave. But even the title track is, it definitely tries to go for that woodsy vibe. Like, you listen to, like, how the syncopated guitars play, and it feels like one of those, you know, songs that you all sing along to at a camp out. But, oh my god, the electronic drums on this thing. And that's the weird thing. Like, for an album that tries to have, like, all these, you know, country folk influences in there, the fact that every song has electronic drums, and more importantly, trap drums at that, it undermines, like, the point it's trying to go for. This is doubly so on a song like Say Something, which actually features an actual country musician, in this case, fucking Chris Stapleton. And then, you know, you get songs like Higher, Higher, which feel more like In Excess by way of Lionel Richie, which, that's some cringe. That's some fucking cringe, that instrumentation. Of course, Wave as well. Like, again, the electronic beat is not only cheap as hell, but you combine it with this corny, like, very jaunty guitar backing. It, the whole thing comes across like this bad backing track at a shitty karaoke bar. And the weird thing is, like, there's a point, this is the whole album, like, it's awkward attempts to fuse, like, modern, you know, pop production and vague trap influences with, like, you know, those country, folk, jamboree type of songs. But there's a point where the most frustrating thing is that there's one point where this almost comes close to working. And that's on the much-mocked track Flannel. You know, the guitar on this thing is, like, a more soft kind of country ballad type of thing, like, you know, late period Johnny Cash or, like, Sturgill Simpson or something. And lyrically, it's about, you know, just in a singing from the perspective of, like, I guess a dead father singing to, like, his newborn son that, like, look, I'm dead, but I will always be with you, like, right here in your soul. And, you know, it's not a bad concept necessarily. Hell, it fits right in with, like, all the country influence and everything. And, you know, that kind of protectiveness in the afterlife. It could have been, like, a charming, sincere kind of song. But there's something about, like, the actual production. Like, you still hear those electronic drums in there that, like, it just kind of hampers, like, whatever sincerity he was going for. Like, you listen to the lyrics and then oh, this sounds really sincere. And then the drums come in. It's like, you know, why do I feel like I'm about to listen to Lil Jon and the East Side Boys? Yeah, this album is just, like, a mess. And it's like, geez, I think that Super Bowl performance is the least of your problems, dude. Like, geez, no wonder there's been a backlash against this guy since, like, 2014. This shit is lame. It's so lame. I guess it's not surprising that Justin Timberlake's middle name is Randall.
Oh, God.
It's like, geez, if you have that as a middle name, you are bound to make an album as lame as this. Holy shit. Yeah, just picture that. The man who brought sexy back has the most unsexy middle name of all time. And yeah, that's basically about it for me. So now we move on to Mark and see what he has to say about the albums he listened to. So go ahead.
All right. Well, I got one topic. Well, jump in this one in now. You know the one I'm talking about.
Dobry?
No. Let's go with that one first. Yeah, I actually listened to Dobry as well with a 3-3. And I gotta say, listen to this album, I really enjoyed this album a lot. This is the first few times. I really like what he got. Like Rob, I listened to most of his catalog. And I think I listened to him before, just not the album before, but it's like, I dig his style, I dig his production, I dig all the stuff that I like in this electronic experimental hip hop. I read the shit out of it. Like, of course, my tracks. Of course, I do have some slight differences from Rob. Like, with Sunshine with Shigito, that track was kind of meh for me. Like, I listened to it the first few times. It's like, it's alright, but it ain't doing nothing for me. It's like, it's okay.
Well, and another like a good drum beat.
Yeah, well. And here's another different thing from you. I actually like Fight Scene, to be honest.
Really?
Maybe because like the whole production kind of got me. It's like an actual fight scene, it kind of gets you in, kind of gets me in the mood to see that shit. Like, I'm actually bopping in this like more and more times the more I listen to it. And of course, you got the singles. Okay, Emancipated, the shot of it with Ghostface, hell yeah. Of course, you got other singles, The Appetite, of course, with Rob Marciano, Quelly Chris, and the man that he brought himself. Dig that shit as well. And even Total Vision and Little Motherfuckers with MF Doom. I actually like the whole clip, man, like, they found the whole world, they found the whole world, with that child's voice, like, that's some haunting shit.
Hey, it works with the concept, that probably was a little motherfucker.
Yeah. Of course, there's instrumentals in there, I like Tate Flip 2. I did like Vert Hortatus, like, that's, I took shit out of instrumental. And also, I really love Pretty with John Wayne. That shit bring some Nuchibis type of level to me, because like that shit got me so into it. And of course, the other tracks like Electrocutioner. That's the song. And Dr. Shrewman with I forgot the artist's name, G&P. I know something like that, but who's in there? Yeah, dude, the album is there. It's a very solid listen to me. I really dug the hell out of this. This is definitely an album that I want to listen to a lot, like, more into the future. So, yeah. I'm digging shit out of that. All right. Next one we got is, I'm quick, Rich Brown with Amen. As somebody who never listened to him before, you know, first time digging into him, like, I heard of his, what's that first joint, like Rich Stick, or was it?
Dead Stick.
Oh, that stick, damn. Yeah, like this person listening to him was like, all right, he sound like, for somebody listening the first time, it's like, hey, like, this is definitely something that I feel like, yeah, that's Rich Brian. He doesn't feel like some of the stuff is middle of the road, but he doesn't feel like any other generic trap SoundCloud rap artist that you heard of. He's, like, there's something in his own lane. It's like, Yeah, he's definitely doing an okay job. I mean, I like tracks like Cold. I like interrupt with Joji, aka Filthy Frank.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, I like songs like Trespass and See Me, the single I heard from him, and Flash Arizona. Yeah, like some tracks have been okay. I do like some of the stuff. I mean, I think most of the get, like, there's minimal guests here. I think only Joji is the one that kind of interests me, because I didn't care about the other ones, like, especially Offset and Attention, which I think he kind of, I don't really give a shit. But hearing the first half from this dude is like, okay, I see some potential in this guy.
Now he just needs to release a single with special guest Sean Evans.
oh yeah. And I want to say one thing, they can get chocolate milk on hot ones. Remind me to do that whenever we do that shit.
Yes, because chocolate milk is the best kind of milk.
Yeah, definitely. I covered. Black Milk with Fever. Don't know who Black Milk is. Remember the guy that produced that? He's a Detroit producer, he produced a lot of stuff for Royce da 5'9" and even Danny Brown. Remember that track, Really Though? He does that for Transmission. So he does his album Fever. Yeah, and I gotta say, like, I listened to it a little bit late because I'm trying to, because usually I like to go listen to albums 2 or 3 times to get to the, but yeah, this is a very interesting listen. Like, I like it is like he is MC here, and he's a good MC. Like, I will say I'm more into his production, which actually has a lot of live instrumentation that, like, I heard there's actual instrumentation on this production. It's kind of nice sounding. I really do like this. I really do like, they had, you know, a bunch of drums and all that shit. It even got some boom bap production type of shit. It's actually sounding really good. The songs I like from this guy, actually one song I like from him is called True Lies, which he does spit a lot of shit in the circuit, although I can find the lyrics to it. It does talk about, you know, like, one lyric is like, they said don't live life on the edge, man, might as well, fuck it. Like, you out for the money, make your wealth, move silent, don't waste your breath. Or something like only top designer clothes, gold chain, rocking charms, so I hardly pay attention to my hood. You feel the tension, I'd rather make it flipping than go pay tuition. So I like it, so the whole, everything you know from high school is a lie. There's more stuff that you don't know, like all that, like that type of shit.
It's true. But everyone in high school told me communism was bad, for example. They were wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but let's say, like, Black Milk is a Badoo, like, is a MC, he's a good MC. Like, I was expecting bars or that type of shit, like most motherfuckers do, but he's a good MC, and I will say he is a better producer. I do like the shit he made here. Like, this is some top notch soul production that I'm liking from him. They're like, it's pretty good. I do want to hear more from this guy, or maybe I should keep a lookout. Yeah, okay, you know what, I'm gonna get out of the way. Yeah, I listen to Man of Woods. And this is shit on English. It's about as country as a Mercedes.
It's about as country as Florida Georgia Line.
But that too. Yeah. And I'm gonna ask this. It says that I know I heard that he was making a album with that some country folk influence. Why do you recruit Timbaland, Pharrell to do the production on it? And don't get me wrong, I love those guys, but that's like saying you go for Metro Boomin for a jazz record.
It's because they're his safe bet. Like, he doesn't know anything else other than Timbaland and the Neptunes.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm gonna say this for people who listen. Like, I'm gonna say this once. You like the Badutchin. You don't like just Timbaland because you might like the but you might like no. You think you like the Badutchin, but it's like, nah. It's just it feels kind of awkward. It feels like I'm eating a peanut butter and mayonnaise and salami sandwich. It's like this ain't going down well. I said for like Filthy's bad. Supply sounds like a trap Wes Anderson a trap song for a Wes Anderson movie, or at least that's done horribly wrong. And we'll say something. I mean, Chris Stapleton, he did all right. I mean, I heard he's one of a few good country artists that I heard people talk good about.
I'll take their word for it.
and Alicia Keys on there too, which she did okay. I mean, all the songs that like I listened to all this album. I don't know, it's like 16 or 18. Man, check this motherfucker. You don't give a fuck. There's like maybe 3 I've got to go back to, but that's not much. I could listen. I'd never listened to a Justin Timberlake album in full before. I heard singles now and then, but this really got me turned off of this guy, and I don't want to listen to another one. This is bad, very very bad.
Yeah, this new Justin Timberlake album, it's not good.
Okay.
Now, would you dare say that it's some old bullshit?
Pretty much. Actually, no. Some old bullshit.
I would give it a high old bullshit.
Okay, fuck it. It's a high some old bullshit. I mean, like I said, I didn't feel that angry about it. I just feel like my head. I just scratched my head listening to it. But before I get to the last album, I actually got one surprise that most of you have known, it kind of relates to the last album. One certain artist, one certain group of people you're hearing about, and it's SOBXREB. Oh. They got actually their second album out called Gangin'. I gotta say, these guys got some banging tracks. I will say they got some nice folks on them. Well, they consist of the people like Young T.O., Slimmy B, Little G, and the boy.
Who is the boy?
The boy. Yeah, like, you know, like I will say, like, it's a good rap album. I will say it's not anything like the talk kind of like it's you no know, it's that you know gritty street rap, but you know they talk about some of the same shit, but I think the way they talk about it is more interesting than most rappers. I just find it because they very energetic, they got a good flow. I do like the whole they got some sing songy shit to them, and they do got some interesting shit to say. I like the production. I can see why people were getting hype after a certain track from a certain album that we'll get to in 30 seconds or into. But these group of people, SOBREB, or however the fuck you say it, I say with the X, but fuck it. I'm digging this shit. And now,
Alex, it's time for you to tag back in.
Hey, it's been 40 minutes. Okay.
So, there's one album that, of course, we've been waiting to talk about here. You may have heard us talk about it in previous episodes, at least the singles anyway. Yeah. You already know what it is. It is the Top Dog Entertainment soundtrack to Marvel Studios' Black Panther.
Hell yes!
Yeah.
Still just the most hype shit. I'm still riding the fucking hype wave off that shit. Especially seeing all, like, the cast members and shit at the fucking, like, Academy Awards. Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My boy Daniel Kaluuya got robbed.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously the movie, the soundtrack, much like the movie, was a big deal. You got your boy Kendrick, you got a whole bunch of people from Top Dog, you got miscellaneous other hip-hop figures joining in on all the fun and all just the, all the good shit.
We got Anderson Paak, we got J-Rock, Ben Staples, SOB, RBE, Georgia Smith, Schoolboy Q, 2 Chainz, and for some reason Future's here too.
Wait, why would you say that for some reason for Future? Why not 2 Chainz and Future? Nobody likes 2 Chainz.
well, recently 2 Chainz been on a high of good this, you know, recently.
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take your word for it. But yeah, obviously this is a big deal. And of course, you know, some of the songs, like, not every song appears in the movie, perhaps worth noting, but, you know, you definitely get the feeling that the soundtrack was designed to be, like, a proper full accompaniment to the piece. Like, when you listen to the opening track, you know, the title track of the movie soundtrack thing, it opens with Kendrick, you know, pretty much rapping straight from the perspective of T'Challa, pretty much in a way that sounds like he's confronting, you know, either something like a metaphorical conflict, or perhaps at that point he's literally trying to confront like a villain like Killmonger or something.
He got a lot of shit like either from, you know, accepting the right to be king after, you know, that went up top end, or either, you know, battling Killmonger later on. And I do like the fact that it got that haunting piano piece to it. It does feel. It does feel, you know, really real to the situation, at least, you know, in the mind.
Yep. And then, you know, continuing from there, you just have a wide, you know, variety of collaborators, including some, a good amount of South African rappers. Like on the song X, you have Saudi, and most of Saudi's verse is rapped in, I don't know if it's a language or a dialect technically, but some kind of language called Zulu. Which I guess is like Shaka Zulu, I'm guessing. You know, that ancient African, you know, military leader, basically. You also got Schoolboy on this thing, but his verse is mostly, you know, a bunch of rap bragging. Although there is one really good line he gets in there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
December being good to me, not even Kendrick can humble me.
Can humble me. I will say that this is definitely one of my this is definitely one of my top five favorite tracks of the record. Like X is definitely up there. It's for Kendrick on the hook. Oh yeah, speaking of which, Kendrick basically cameos in most of the songs. It's like you see him there, you hear him there, you hear him over there. Like for not every song, but only there. Or like Kendrick's like, "Only on 10 yet? Only on 10 yet? Yeah, only on 10 yet. Fuck the place up. Fuck the place up." Yeah, man. I got hyped on that shit, especially when I see it. And yeah, maybe I might be alone on this. I don't know. Maybe I am, but like I said, I actually like 2 Chainz on this on the Beast Switch. Maybe I like the maybe to me 2 Chainz be getting a lot better in most of the shit I heard from him. I don't know, or maybe because I haven't listened to I haven't listened to much of him, but it's like he's getting, you know, better, at least to me. But that's just me.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Of
course, being a movie soundtrack, there's the occasional ballad here and there. I mean, like, we already heard, like, all the stars with, you know, the first lady at TDE, SZA.
Yeah.
Which, you know, her part on there is a lot better than Kendrick's part, admittedly.
Yeah, like I said before, it's just like a SZA song than Kendrick in my eyes.
And hell, it's the credits song, so, like, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, we did the end credits song.
We called it. Who called it? But that's like the only ballad here. There's of course The Ways, which has, you know, it features Khalid and Mr. Sway Lee of Ray Seremard, you know, sounding all romantic and nice. Although interpreting the lyrics, it sounds, and maybe this is just like me trying to rip from the Genius annotations, but they imply that it sounds like they're trying to hit on Nakia, you know, Lupita Nyong'o's character in the movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, and fun fact, guess who produced this track?
Who did?
The band himself, Bad Bad Not Good.
Oh, shit, son.
But yeah, like, yeah, like, I'm surprised I actually like the Ways on there. Like, yeah, like Khalid, and I'm gonna be honest, when it got to Swae Lee's part, I got like, oh, who's that girl? Oh, that's Swae Lee. Now, we'll say, when we're saying this part, like, he's okay here. I mean, maybe that's just me saying, like, maybe if I had the expectation of him, of it, it's like, oh, you didn't grate on my nerves. You didn't do the stupid falsetto bullshit. It's like, it's, you're passable, you, but that doesn't, but yeah, I'd rather hear you on one track instead of who knows how many on your solo album, or one of them in that. Okay, you know, let's move on. Ops. Fucking love Ops.
The most hype song on the album, period.
Yes.
And hell, it comes at the most hype moment in the movie after that casino scene in South Korea, which also has that song by The Weeknd and Kendrick Lamar. But, like, the fact that it's such a perfectly set up needle drop moment, you know, they're in the car and it's like, you know, put on some tunes and, you know, boom. Yeah. And then you just...
I was on the run, get dead to me.
You just feel that beat, man.
Yeah. Oh, and I will say, like, not only Kendrick did well, or Vince Staples did well, but Yugen Blackrock, she fucking brought it, man. Especially when I noticed that she made two DC comic reference in the movie, like,
yeah,
the song, like, that's kind of obvious, like, you're bringing that up in a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Although I think they bleep that out.
Yeah, stamp ahead my own bars like a seasoned criminal, Gotham City streets. I'll play the blank, which is supposed to be Riddler.
I'm telling you, it's like even DC wants to be jumping ship from DC to Marvel at this point. But yeah, you know, Yugen Blackrock, you know, another South African rapper, really nails a lot of fire bars, almost sounding like a lot of references to just the strength of the Wakandan technology, which makes sense because this whole thing is like, you know, you have that like fucking simulated car technology shit that like I really want to know how that works.
That should be cool.
You have the banging beat, which very much feels like a Vince Staples beat, but thrown on with, like, some of that African tribal percussion. Apparently, the film's, like, actual composer, Ludwig Göransson, also served as, like, a producer on this song. And then, of course, when it gets to Vince, goddamn, you just feel it. Like, this feels like it could have been an outtake from Big Fish Theory. Especially with, like, some fire bars, like, they don't want to see me sitting in the bands, they don't want to see me living on the end. Which, you know, makes perfect sense, you know, for the whole, like, metaphor of no one wants to see the black man succeed, which is, like, why someone like Killmonger's doing what he does.
Yeah.
You know, free the oppressed. It's fucking hype! And yes, I do want to hear Claw's mixtape on SoundCloud.
We all do.
Yeah, again, a lot of these, like, it sort of fits into the more general themes of, like, Kendrick's music about, like, police brutality and, like, the disenfranchised black experience, especially on the song, Paramedic, which has a lot of lyrics, you know, referencing primarily, like, gang warfare, which makes sense with, like, the opening declaration of I am Killmonger, and again, this is the one that has, like, not just Kendrick, like, saying that, but it also has bars from SOB RBE, you know, rap... You could kind of see it as, like, the rapping from, like, the hardships that, like, Killmonger had to go through, you know, living in...
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely heard it's like, that, like the rapping from Killmonger's perspective.
You know, that whole impoverished perspective, having to grow up in, like, you know, a gang, you know, torn place. And then, you know, also a little bit, like, of that Killmonger perspective still works its way into, of course, King's Dead, which I still maintain that Kendrick's second bar on there is fucking fire as hell.
Oh,
you know, when he actually does the Killmonger shit. But yeah. I am still, like, wondering what even in the fuck is Future doing here?
It's a tale of two songs.
Yeah, but King's Dead would have been a top five track if you cut the Future verse, because that shit did not fit at all. Like, it didn't, man.
Ugh, it's like, just go away, Future. You ruined all the good things. But, you know, for as much as, like, some of the ballad stuff might be just, like, okay, in my opinion, like, this album, when it's on fire, it's on fucking fire, and again, there's a lot of, like, fire shit just from top to bottom on this thing. It's a soundtrack that's perfectly appropriate for one of the most fire-ass movies we'll see all year. Probably the most fire-ass.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Infinity War's gotta live up to a lot of stuff.
God damn. Okay, and okay, another thing I mentioned it myself. Blade Waters with Absol and Anson Paak. And I gotta say, listening to Absol, people say like Absol is quite the fucking wordsmith, which holy fuck, he got there's a point, cause I'm looking at his lyrics. That genius is like joystick you for your figures. That's how they hang, man. Or this one, like the aftermath is you in the scope. You gotta get that shit, aftermath in the scope.
Yeah,
hey, I get it.
Absolutely, a fucking good lyricist from what I heard. And of course, my man Anson Paak, he brought the shit too.
Yeah, everyone brought it. Everyone that we wanted to bring it, brought it. I don't really have much more to say. It's just, it's good. Watch the movie. Listen to the album.
Okay, I will want to add this. One weird moment for me in the album. The next to last track, Big Shot, which sounds like, that one sounds like a Legend of Zelda type of shit.
I thought the same thing. It sounded like Link to the Past. Like Super Nintendo quality score.
And like how Kendrick Clap Weekend, there's another collaborator he clapped in the past with Travis Scott. He's there. I mean, the track is whatever and all, but it's like, I mean, they got some bit interest to me, like with the production on it. Although I heard that track Big Shot got some I don't know, some lyrics from the other song he did with Rich the Kid, I think, New Freezer, that's what I'm heard. I read on something about that, but that's what I looked up to. That's what I looked at.
Yeah, anyone else got anything to say, or?
I think we can move on.
Like I said, Black Panther, the album, It is definitely a great soundtrack album. It also definitely works as, you know, it also works as a separate entity from the sound, a separate entity from the movies. Like, it does work as its own thing.
Mm-hmm. It works really good as a soundtrack and as a TDE mixtape of sorts.
You know, it's so good. I just want to give it my money and give everyone else on here my money. Maybe I could donate to that Vince Staples GoFundMe. Not really, because I want Vince Staples to keep doing music. He's cool. But, that basically about covers everything. So, I guess now is the part where we clean house and get the hell out of here. As always, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or of Azure, as always, everywhere. Because, you know, you hear me say it at least once or twice a week.
Mark, what about you?
Of course, following on Twitter, I'm at Happy Media. As well, and while I'm on Resolution, you can still find me at the Hyper One thehyperone@wordpress.com. Of course, I got the latest JSAP chapter up right now.
Nice. As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, what have you, at Rob Barracuda. Email me robert@surrealresolution.com, which you'll pretty much have to do as soon as I take control of this bitch. And, you know, make the memes ever more dank. You know, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. You know, subscribe to us on, like, all the other social medias. Follow us on Twitter, you know, YouTube. Just search Surreal Resolution. You'll find the whole thing. I already did the whole plug, you know, stuff, whatever, last time. And of course, shout out to the producer Mr. E for graciously letting me use this music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. And also check down below because you'll find a link to, you know, the playlist that has, you know, select choice songs from all of these albums and whatnot. Except for Justin Timberlake, because that one sucked.
Yeah.
So, of course, thank you for joining us for this edition of the Album Roundup. We'll, of course, see you in the next main episode, and be sure to join us for when we round up everything that came out in March, you know, basically at the beginning of April. So, until next time, where the fuck did this crack on my phone come from?
I just realized you're gonna be my boss.
We're all gonna die. Looking so conspicuous. Wow, these women all